I talked to David Edmondson last night in Madisonville, Kentucky. He said those tornadoes came within about 5 miles of them, but that no one in the fellowship there has suffered any great damage. So he's very thankful. They were planning on having services this morning. Let's open our Bibles together to Judges chapter 1. Judges chapter 1. I've titled this message, Christ's Reward. Christ's Reward. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save His people, and His church, His bride, was His reward for His work. We have many pictures of that in God's Word. Matter of fact, all Scripture is about Christ and His church, His work of redemption. And we have a picture of that here in the first chapter of Judges. Now, you know, as I do, that Caleb, generally in the larger picture, illustrates the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua and Caleb were two of the 12 spies that Moses sent in to spy out the promised land. And 40 years later, Joshua and Caleb were the only ones who survived that generation. And Joshua being a picture of our Joshua, his name meaning the same thing that Jesus means, Jehovah saves, and Caleb meaning a faithful dog, the one who licks the hand of his master and follows after him. And that picture is carried throughout the Scriptures. And yet, in this story this morning, I want us to see Caleb as a type of God the Father. And I want us to see Othniel, who is related to Caleb, as a type of Christ. I want us to see Aksa, who was Caleb's daughter, as a type of the bride of Christ. And the city that Caleb was, or that Othniel was to take over, Kirjath-Sefer, as the city of God, the new Jerusalem. Here's what we have a picture of. Look with me in Judges chapter 1, and we'll begin reading at verse 12. And Caleb said, "He that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife." And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. Now, the word brother is used often in the Bible just to refer to a close relative. This, obviously, because they had a different father, was not the immediate brother of Caleb, but he was a close relative of Caleb. Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it. He took the city of Kirjath-Sefer. And he gave him, Caleb gave to Othniel, Aksa, his daughter, to wife. This was the reward that Othniel got for having taken the city of Kirjath-Sefer. And it came to pass when she came to him that she moved him. Now this is Aksa, the daughter of Caleb, who is now the wife of Othniel, asking her husband for permission to make a request of her father. You see where we're going with this. Look at, it came to pass when she, Aksa, came to her husband, Othniel, she was moved to ask him if for her father to give her a field. And she lighted from off her ass, and Caleb said unto him, "What wilt thou?" In other words, her husband gave her permission to go to her father, Caleb, and make this request. And she said unto him, "Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a southland. Give me also springs of water." And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs, or the lower springs. She needed springs of water to go with this land that her father, Caleb, had given unto her. Now, Kirjath Sefer, translated, means the city of the book. The city of the book. And I want us this morning to see this city being taken by Othniel, a type of Christ, as a picture of Christ coming into this world and taking unto himself the city of the book. This is the city of God. The book is a reference to two things, at least, that I can think of. The first is the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, where God Almighty, according to his own will and purpose, has indelibly written the names of his elect. This is the book that John wept over, that no man was worthy to open. This is the book that the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath prevailed in winning over this city unto himself and taking it to himself, was able to open the book and expose the names of those for whom he lived and died. The city of the book. This is the city of God. This is our hope, that the Lord Jesus Christ has gotten the victory. A battle had to be won in order to win this city, had to be fought in order to win this city. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he came into this world. He fought the battle against sin, against Satan, against the grave, against hell itself. And his resurrection proves that he was victorious in that battle. And our Heavenly Father gave him Kirjath Sefer, the city of the book. We have a city, the scripture says, which hath foundations. That foundation is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world as Othniel was called out by Caleb to take that city in order that he might win to himself a bride. And that's what our Lord did. Oh, brethren, we've got a city. Our hearts are set. Our hearts are fixed on the city of God. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 13 that we have not here a continuing city, but we seek for that city which is to come. Have you ever heard someone say, "It's not the destination, it's the journey"? Well, that may be true to some things, I don't know. But it is not true to the gospel. On our way here this morning, we passed just a couple blocks south of here a church called Journey. And I can only imagine the kind of the kind of messages that are preached in that place. And I suspect that it's all about the journey. For the child of God, it's all about the destination. It's all about the city that the Lord Jesus Christ has fought for and won. Revelation chapter 21. Here's the summary of all of Scripture. Oh, this is where we have our affections set on things above. Revelation chapter 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. No more separation, no more turbulence. Oh, brethren, the journey for the believer in this life is the pain of being separated from the one that we love, and the trials and troubles that he has sent in order to make us dependent upon him. It's not the journey, it's the destination. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Here's the city that the Lord Jesus Christ has won in the battle of his death on Calvary's cross. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. You see, that's the destination. That's the journey, isn't it? This journey is filled with tears and sorrow and death and trials and troubles. But here's the hope. What is our Lord saying? There is a destination. There is a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. It is this new Jerusalem that we long to be a part of. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That's the day we long for, when these former things are passed away, and all things are made new. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. It is done. And you just see Othniel coming back to Caleb saying, I won the city. I conquered it. And Caleb given to Othniel his daughter Aska to wife. What a glorious picture of our Lord in his saving work. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Turn over just another page to Revelation chapter 22 and look at verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. This is our hope, that the Lord would rend. This is my prayer this morning. The Lord would rend the heavens, that he would come down, that he would cause us to look beyond the temporal things of this life and to set our affections on things above. This is what our Lord, this is what Othniel did. He got the victory over this city, the city of the book. The city of the book, and in the midst of the street of it, and on each side of the river. Now, John sees this river, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb. And the river's got two sides. Now, here's the truth. We're on one side of the river right now. But sooner than we all think, we're going to cross this river, and we're going to be on the other side. In the midst of the street of it, and on the other side of the river, there was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. That means the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be pressed on our minds and on our hearts. And there shall be no night there, and they shall need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. They must shortly be done. What is your life? Oh, it is a vapor. It is a vapor. Isn't that so true? Behold, I come quickly. Now that's God speaking. And you see how John responds to this in verse 20 of chapter 22. The Lord says again, surely I come quickly, amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Oh, the longing of the believer's heart is to see him as he is and be made like him. This is the end. This is it. This is what the Lord came to do. He came to bring the city of the book to his Father. A conquered city. And that's what he did. He fought the battle of death. And he conquered death. And he conquered the grave. And he conquers his people. And he makes them a part of his city. This city of the book is not just the Lamb's book of life, written before the foundations of the world. But this is the book of God. You know what the word Bible means? It means the book. The book. Now, I have no interest whatsoever in trying to prove to someone that the Bible is the Word of God. If I could prove to you that it was and you could be convinced, another man could prove to you that it wasn't and you'd be talked out of it. But when God speaks and you come to believe by the grace of God that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and that it's all profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that you may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, and that no word came by private interpretation, but it was all given by holy men of God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. They wrote the very word of God. You will hang all the hopes of your immortal soul on God's infallible, inspired word. This is the city of the book. What saith the Scriptures? That's the only thing that matters. We're not interested in confessions or doctrinal statements or the opinions of dead theologians. What does God say? The Scriptures aren't complicated. They're very clear. For all Scripture points to Christ. It all comes back to it. It's why we read these historical events and we see the gospel in them. You see how Othniel, who in chapter 3 of Judges is going to end up being the first judge of Israel during that 400 period of years of time. But here, as a close relative of Caleb, he takes the challenge to capture the city of the book. His word is perfect. We judge all things by it. Even as I say that, I remember being a fundamentalist in years gone by, where I believed that the Bible was the Word of God, but I didn't believe the Word of God. I was like those Pharisees who search the scriptures to see whether they, whether they would give them eternal life. I thought, well, if I just know the scriptures, that'll. And what did the Lord say to those Pharisees? No, you've missed the whole meaning of the Bible, for these are they which testify of me. So now when we go to the scriptures, we're looking for Christ and his work and his bride and his salvation. And that's where our encouragement comes. The word of God is alive and effectual and sharper than any two-edged sword. We're the city of the book, the Lamb's book of life, and the written word of God. And if God the Holy Spirit is pleased to bless his written word and his spoken word, it will lead us to find our hope in the living word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what Othniel did as an Old Testament shadow, a picture foreshadowing and foretelling the work that the Lord Jesus would do when he took the city of the book and conquered it for his heavenly Father. Notice in our text, the scripture says that he taketh it. He didn't go in and use diplomatic means to try to persuade them to let him have it. No, he took it. He took it. And that's exactly how he's going to capture you and me. He's going to take it. Don't you love it when David sent his servant to go fetch Mephibosheth? He didn't go to Mephibosheth and say, well, you know, if you want to come see the king, you know, you have an invite. No, he fetched him. He went and captured him and brought him to the king. And all along, Mephibosheth, sure that this was the end of his life. And when he met the king, oh, David looked at him with such compassion and such love and said, oh, Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth, I'm going to show you kindness for thy father, Jonathan's sake. And that's us. We're crippled from a fall, just like young Mephibosheth. And our Father being the Lord Jesus Christ, God shows us mercy for Christ's sake. And what's he do? He does it. He sits us down at his table and he said, you're going to eat the king's fare. You're going to eat the bread of life. You're going to feast on the Lord Jesus Christ the rest of your days. Oh, here's our hope. He took the city. He took the city. And when he takes us, he causes us to do what those Thessalonians did. They turned to God from their idols to worship the living and true God. He makes us willing in the day of his power. He takes the city. He doesn't come and ask permission. He doesn't come and try to persuade us. He just takes us. He does us just like he did on the Saul of Tarsus. He knocks us off our high horse and puts our face in the dust and causes us to cry out, Lord, what would you have me to do? An enemy of God now bowing. He took the city. Othniel. By the way, Othniel's name means the Lion of God. That's what his name means. And we see the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. What a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus conquering this city. A lion who's not threatened by anything or anyone. In Mark chapter 10. At verse 52, after the Lord gives to blind Bartimaeus his sight, the Lord says to blind Bartimaeus, go thy way. And the scripture says, and immediately he followed Jesus in the way. Don't you love it when Naomi said to Ruth and her other daughter-in-law, he said, you know, you've got no obligation to follow me. You stay behind and find yourself a husband in Moab. And Ruth said, no, your God is my God. Your people is my people. Wherever you go, I'm going. The Lord said to the disciples, he said, are you going to lead me also? You see, the invitation is not to persuade men to walk forward and make a confession of faith. The invitation is lead if you can. And if you can, you eventually will. I mean, it's just that. You see, God's people are not able. They're not able. Why? Because he makes them willing. He starts a work of grace in them and he finishes what he starts. He took the city. And God's people think, Lord, take me. Don't leave it up to me. Don't give me a choice in the matter. Don't give me a way out. If you do, I'll take it. Capture me. Take me. Arrest me. Keep me. Othniel, as the Lion of God, took the city of the book. He took it. And this is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ does. Through the preaching of the gospel, he takes his people and he makes them willing servants. They say with that bond slave, they say, I love my master, I love my children, Lord. And they bore through the ear. That's what they do. They bow. He captures their hearts and he causes them to love him. He makes them happy bond servants. They don't have any interest in going anywhere else. Here's a picture. All these Old Testament stories. They're not just for our entertainment. They're not just historical events for us to learn. They're pointing us to Christ and his church. They're pointing us to what the Lord Jesus did in redeeming his people. He captured the city of the book. He said, well, how do you know? How do I know if my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life? I can't look into heaven and look up my name and see if it's there. Scripture says that faith is the evidence of things hoped for. We don't look to some experience. We don't look to our lives. We look in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe God and we can't not believe him. He's taken captive of us. He's made us to believe on him. We've got no place else to go. Now what the disciples said when the Lord invited them to leave, said, Lord, where are we going to go? You alone have the words of eternal life. We know and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Can you say that? Lord, I've got no place else to go. You've taken captive of me. You've arrested me. And I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's good evidence as you're going to have. And what great evidence it is to be able to rest in Christ, our Othniel, who took the city, and captured it for the reward of his wife. Go back with me to our text and look at verse 12. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath-Sepher and taketh it. That's what he does. He smites it. Paul said, I was alive once without the law. But when the law came, sin revived and I died. God has to put you to death before we can be made alive. What does that mean? It means before God Almighty, I've got no righteousness. I've got nothing to recommend me to God. All of my righteousness are as filthy rags before God. It means that if God doesn't take a coal from off the altar like he did for Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 and touch my lips, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. And there's no man that can help me. I'm completely dependent upon God's mercy. Smiteth the city. Put it to death. Paul said, you know, those things which I thought were gain unto me. Oh, I was doing so many good things. And everybody was impressed with me. Concerning the law, before men, I was blameless. Nobody could charge me of being lawless. And those things which I thought were gain to me, I now count but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. My righteousness was killing me. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Men won't come to Christ. It's not a person's sin that keeps them from Christ. It's their righteousness. It's their righteousness. And when God, like Othniel, smites you and takes you captive, then you know that your only life is Christ. Christ is your life. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. What Paul said, we die daily. I'm brought to the end of myself daily. Lord, I've got no righteousness. I've got to have Christ. He's my life. This is the picture here. Othniel took the city of the book. Caleb charged him and said, you take that city and I'll give you my daughter. The Lord causes us to cease from men. He kills us that we might be made alive. You've got to be made lost before you can be found. Truth is that we were always dead in sin, but until the Lord captures us and slays us, we don't know it. Don't know that we're dead. Scripture says, when we were yet without strength. Now, dead man's got no strength. You know, you can get really sick to where you feel really weak, but you can still do something. You can open your eyes, you can open your mouth, you can maybe wiggle your finger. Oh no. The only ones who are without strength are dead men. Got no strength. That's why our Lord said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. If he's got all power, that means we've got none. Here's what Othniel did. He took the city of the book and he captured it and he slayed it. He put it to death. And I will give you Aksa. I will give you Aksa, my daughter. And the scripture refers to the church as the daughters of Jerusalem, the daughters of Israel, the daughters of Zion, the daughters of Judah. Here's over and over again, the Bible refers to the church as the daughters of God. Turn with me to Lamentations, right after Jeremiah. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. And Jeremiah was the penman of the book of Lamentations. He's lamenting, but he's speaking prophetically. He's not speaking as a man. He's speaking prophetically as the Lord Jesus Christ. Lamentations chapter 3. Look with me at verse 48. Mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission till the Lord look down and behold from heaven. Mine eye afflicteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Here's the city of the book of God. And here's the weeping prophet. Here's our Lord Jesus Christ weeping over his people in love. And that compassion is what moved him to redeem her, to go to war, to lay down his life for his sheep, to lay down his life for his bride. And God gave to him the church as his spoil of war. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And look with me at verse 9. Isaiah 40 verse 9. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up to the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up and be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work goes before him. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is the strong right arm of God, and he's the only one that can send his work ahead of him to recommend him to God. And God's rewarding him for his work. We can't send our works before us to prove to God anything about us. The Lord Jesus Christ is the forerunner of his church. He's the one that went before us. Look at verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Oh, what a compassionate Savior. Here's what Othniel did. The Lion of God took the city of the book. He slew it. He captured it. He makes his people willing servants that they might be made part of that new Jerusalem, the city that comes down from heaven where there is no weeping and no more sorrow and no more death. Say, somebody says, well, you know, I'm not worried about dying right now. I just need to get through this life. I would say to you, you're very, very short-sighted and very foolish. Truth is, the only way to be able to live in this life is to die. And it's only when we know Christ that we have any understanding of all or any ability at all to survive this world. Go back with me to our text in Judges chapter 1. I want to draw out this last point. Aksa had to go to Othniel in order to get permission from him to go to her father to ask request of the upper and the lower springs of water. What a glorious picture. No man can come to the Father but by the Son. You ask anything in my name. You see, when we come before our Heavenly Father, We've got to claim and insist upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for any hope that our Father would hear us. We dare not approach God without Christ as our mediator. We have no claim on God apart from what our Othniel, the Lion of God, has done in conquering us. When we go to our Heavenly Father, what are we doing? We're just expressing our complete dependence upon Him. That's what prayer is. It's the proud, the self-righteous, the self-reliant that don't pray. And when we fail to pray, it's what we're saying. Prayer is just the expression of our dependence upon God, is it not? If we only knew how dependent we really were, we would pray more than we do. Oh, you have not, because you ask not. And what did she ask for? What did she ask for? She asked wells, springs of water. She said to her father, "You've given me a land. You've made me part of the city of God, but I need..." Well, what is the springs of water? Here's what our Lord said. On that great day of the feast, when the priest was pouring out the drink offering, all of Jerusalem was silent, waiting for that pronouncement of God. And the Lord Jesus, the scripture says, cried with a loud voice. And he said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And this he spake concerning his spirit, which had not yet come. He was talking about the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God was poured out. Here's the water. Lord, you've made me. You've given me part and parcel of this land. I need your Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit to point me to Christ, to comfort me, to encourage me, to teach me, to show me. Our Lord, I know I quote this verse a lot, but our Lord said, "If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" Oh, we come before our Heavenly Father, Caleb in this story. And we get permission from our husband, Othniel, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we rejoice that our Heavenly Father has made us part of the city of God. And we never are without a need for the water of life to be poured out. Lord, this is the river that's clear as crystal that flows from the throne of God. And we're always calling. Why? Because we quench the Spirit of God and we grieve the Spirit of God and we lose sight of the things of God. And it is the Spirit of God that opens the eyes of our understanding. It is the Spirit of God that gives us faith. We're not talking about some foolish behavior that people do because they think that they've got the Spirit of God, where they're talking in foolish language. And no, we're talking about a work of grace in the heart. "I will not leave you," the Lord said, "comfortless, but I will send unto you the Comforter, and He will take those things of me and He'll show them unto you. He'll lead you into all truth." He'll point you to Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ heard His Father say, "Take Kirjath-Sefer, the city of the book, and I'll give you my daughter." And Othniel took it, and he slew it, put it to death. The Lord gave him His bride, the church, always recorded in the book of God. And then the evidence the evidence that she was married to Othniel is that she saw her need to go through her husband to get to her father for the water. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your gospel. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the declaration of Christ, and thank you for his accomplished work. And Father, we come before thee in the name of thy dear Son and ask for your Holy Spirit to convict, to comfort, to reveal, to bring us to our Othniel, to find in him our life. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. 268. Let's stand together.